Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And love letters, as you may know or would guess, is any kind of letter that expresses love or gratitude or a desire to have someone in your life or to send a memory to somebody. It's just communication in the most loving and compassionate way possible. Sexy when you want it to be, not sexy when you don't want it to be. It can be for romance. It can be for anything at all. We have people who've written to their pets and to grandparents no longer living. It doesn't matter. It is your best self put to paper with the goal of making somebody else's life richer when they get that letter in your handwriting in their pile of mail. Today, my guest is Jonathan Brower, who was a professor of sociology at Cal State Fullerton for many years, has a family practice, family therapy practice, and most recently has a radio show of his own. And did I say you're my brother? He is my sweet younger brother. And tell me, Jonathan, the name of your radio show and where people can find you.
Oh, my radio show is Human Behavior, What a Trip, and it's through voiceamerica.com.
Okay, so www.voiceamerica.com. And when they get there, how do they find you?
Then they go to the health and wellness.
Health and wellness,
And then they'll see pictures of the different people who have the radio shows, including me.
And name under it, obviously.
Yeah, my name's Jonathan Brower.
Okay.
I'm wearing a tie and
okay.
The whole thing.
So if you can look for Jonathan Brower and give a listen to his radio show. So as far as this one goes, I had asked Jonathan to talk about any incident or aspect or point of his life that he'd like to. And he said, well, I've got so many of them. So I'm just going to turn it over to you. And what would you like to share with people about your life?
Well, right off the bat, I'm probably going to get a little teary here. But in many ways, you were very sweet to me as an older sister. And one of the things I remember that was so nice was when we were at this private school, and I was there for kindergarten in the first two grades, grade one and two, my group cohort, we were supposed to nap after lunch.
The kindergartners, yes.
But I didn't want to nap because I wanted to be playing, but I was supposed to nap. So the only way that I would nap is if you would be in the cot next to me, and then I'd fall asleep, and you get up and go and play with your friends.
Well, I went back to I remember that they brought me out of class.
Yeah.
To come sit with you.
Well, my memory,
to be with you.
My memory,
however,
which may be distorted, you actually lay down on the cot next to me.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, and then I don't know how long this went on for.
I don't think it went on for long.
I don't know, but anyways, that was sweet. And then there was a lot of other times we had fun and we were sweet. But then sometimes
you were a very sweet boy.
Yeah, but sometimes we would be angry with each other. And I also have a memory. At this point, I was probably late grammar school, maybe early junior high, and I hit you in the face.
Ooh!
But I don't think I did it super hard, but hard enough that I was really bothered after I did it. Our parents didn't punish me for it because they knew I felt badly enough.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's funny that you remember that because he used to punch once in a while. I mean, we were brother and sister.
Yeah.
And I remember running to our parents and saying, he hit me, he hit me. And I remember they're saying, hit him back.
Yeah.
And
really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hit him back. And I said, I can't. He's little.
Yeah.
And I never could. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had this game we played at times called Krakatoa.
Oh, yes.
Where we would be on the floor, sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
And we'd try to crack each other, well, hit each other's toes.
Right.
But we never did much damage.
No, silly. We used to play tap a tune. Yes.
I don't remember that.
Oh, really? Where we would tap out the rhythm of a song?
Oh, yes.
And then have to guess what it was? That was great.
Yeah.
And that serves into me so well anyway because I am so rhythm driven.
Yes.
I mean, I think all mankind is.
Yes.
You know, we function to the rhythms of the universe.
Yes.
So what about friendships that you remember, early friendships or teachers? I know those were big in life.
Yeah. Well, I had teachers at different times. I don't remember before the fourth grade, but in the sixth grade, well, fifth and sixth grade.
Oh, where you were at Gardner School.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a huge crush on Mrs. Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Robbins.
I remember her.
Yeah. And one of the times we had with each other, it was two things that mattered. One was I was leaving school, and I apparently ran out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was leaving school,
the principal.
No, this was Miss.
Were you ran into her car?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm.
Yeah, it was Miss Robbins, and she. Her car grazed my buttocks,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't even hurt that much.
Right.
But she drove me home,
mm-hmm.
and I loved having her drive me home. And then, the two other incidents with her. One was, she was on the short side, but not unusually short.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the top of the second floor of the school,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking over the stairs,
uh-huh.
and she was walking up the stairs. And so I said, "Hi, Shorty,"
mm-hmm.
but not because she was short in general,
yeah.
but because she was so much lower
yeah.
on the first floor. And she let me know in a very sweet way
mm-hmm.
later that I shouldn't have said that because that's not, and I'm not using her terms, but
right.
it wasn't professional. And in school, we shouldn't be doing that.
Uh-huh.
So, and then the other thing that she did that was very sweet was, one time we were, I was chasing you or you were chasing me. I think I was chasing you. Between your bedroom and the adjacent bedroom, which was our parents' bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried, we were running around like two cartoon characters, and I was trying to catch you, so I dove over the bed to try to
mm-hmm.
catch you, but I didn't. I ended up breaking my fourth finger on my left hand, and it was on my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a broken bone, but for a day or two, I didn't get any help
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Robbins was very sweet about helping me put my jacket off.
Oh, gosh, she was really big in your life.
Yeah, because my finger and my hand.
Now, she got pregnant.
Eventually, she may have.
Well, I remember when she did, or that she did.
Well, I don't.
Well, you don't. But what I remember, and maybe it wasn't even when you had her, but when she started to show, as they
yeah.
used to say, she had to retire.
I have no recollection.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the teachers couldn't be in a classroom pregnant.
I didn't know that.
In those years. Did you ever see one?
Not that I'm aware of.
They couldn't, once they started to show, they could no longer teach children. And now, of course, the baby bump is pretty much a fashion accessory.
Yeah.
And it's just nice that times have changed in that way.
Yeah.
You know?
So another important person in my life
mm-hmm.
who wasn't really a teacher per se, but he was my coach in college.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
My cross country and track coach.
Sam. Oh, so wait. So why don't we mention that you were a long distance runner and a triathlete?
Yeah,
I don't know. That people,
yeah,
it's nice.
I was
to
a
know.
Triathlete for about 10 years, but I've been mm-hmm. a runner for 50+ years.
Mm-hmm.
Still am.
Long before people were really doing it in such
yeah.
enthusiasm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Sam Adams, when I was there, Sam Adams was a young new coach,
mm-hmm.
and he was a former decathlete.
Mm-hmm.
He just missed barely making the 1956 mm-hmm. Olympic team. And he was very stoic in many ways, but he was fun in some ways. And he reminded me in many ways of our father,
mm-hmm.
or how I experienced
mm-hmm.
my father. Because he, in some ways, Sam Adams was, he held back and he wasn't very...
Reserved, you mean?
He was reserved,
mm-hmm.
but other times he could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So he was... one of the more important.
So what did he offer you? What did he actually give you that was valuable?
Basically, to help me become as good a runner as I could be.
Okay, so I'm interested. What did he do that? I mean, did he push at you? Was he requiring more discipline than you thought you had? Like, what's valuable here?
I don't know.
If you can say.
I'm not sure. Well, what was valuable is, overall, I experienced him as a
mm-hmm.
human being with his good points and bad points.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so one other incident. When I was a freshman and we were going away for our first cross-country meet,
mm-hmm.
and we were, you know, like in another, you know, 500 miles from home or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and at the dinner table, so there was seven of us runners
mm-hmm.
and Sam, and after dinner, he took out a cigarette and lit the cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us guys was amazed at.
Shocked.
Shocked that
mm-hmm.
this, you know, And he was a gorgeous man, mm-hmm. really handsome. Mm-hmm. And when he started smoking a cigarette, it seemed out of whack.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, for an athlete, and of course now, you wouldn't find that. But so you, that's interesting kind of because you never smelled smoke on him. So you never had a clue he was a smoker?
Oh, no. Yeah. It was just, and apparently he only smoked a cigarette or two after dinner or something.
Yeah. Showered before he turned up for, because that, you know, I think in an era where people were smoking, I mean, in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, the smell of cigarette smoke was so vile. I mean, I can see it now when I'm around people who are smokers. And I couldn't tell it then because everybody smoked, including yours truly.
Yes.
And, you know, I just had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, how foul it is. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so go ahead. What more about you?
Okay, so well, this, I'm just talking about people in my life
yes,
right now.
That's nice.
Is it okay to give the name of our first cousin?
Sure.
Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Lloyd was a nice guy for
Lovely.
Me.
Lovely, yeah.
And when I was in high school mm-hmm. and taking physics class, mm-hmm. which I was miserable at, Lloyd, who was a super brainiac, mm-hmm. would tutor me.
Mm-hmm.
I still got a D in the class.
You know, I have a memory of him, too, because when I was in high school and we were learning, I guess, 10th grade, whenever it was, maybe it was junior high school, and we were learning square roots pretty much by memory.
Uh-huh.
And it's easy to square things, but to find the square root of things is a different matter.
Yeah.
And so we memorized some, and I just got a bug to find out. They weren't explaining anything. They didn't explain how to find the square root of something.
Yeah.
So I went over to Lloyd for like 4 days during 1 week, and he taught me how to find the square. I mean, he gave me math lessons also.
And how old were you at the time?
I must have been about 14.
I see.
Oh, it was so much fun. He was so dear. He is dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I never knew that you went to him.
Yeah. Well, he came to me, actually.
Oh, I had to go to him.
He would come to me, and we'd have our sessions in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he...
And he's like 7 years older than you, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. Is that all he is?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was very forthright and, you know, he's...
Mm-hmm.
And he did help me as best he could.
What about early crushes?
Well, the first one is Vicky Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky Gold...
You were in grammar school?
Yeah, we were in grammar school. And she was very good at playing sports. Mm-hmm. And with the boys, when we would playing softball, she would be joining us. Mm-hmm. One of the few girls who would be joining us. And she was good. So eventually, we had a date. We had two dates.
When you were how old, do you remember?
Well, I was in the fourth grade.
Oh, a little,
the first half of the fourth grade before I moved to Stanley Avenue. Mm-hmm. So on our date, my mom took us to a movie. It was a Jerry Lewis movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pouring rain. And I was wearing Levi's and a white T-shirt, mm-hmm. and she was wearing this frilly dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a second date a few weeks later, and that time I was sort of dressed up, and mm-hmm. she was wearing jeans and a mm-hmm. T-shirt, so we never got that right. And then we moved from Highland Avenue to Stanley Avenue, mm-hmm. and I never saw her again.
Oh.
And for a long time, I never really thought much about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then in recent years, when I've not had anybody in my life, mm-hmm. a woman that I want to be with, I have this fantasy. It would have been nice if she and I grew up together and got married.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously,
you know,
I don't know what she'd really be like as an adult.
Of course you don't.
Yeah.
And it's so I see now at our stage of life that it's so common for people who have second marriages, who have lost a spouse, mm-hmm. that they end up reconnecting with people in their high school sweethearts or earlier and have the most wonderful marriages. What do you think that's about? Never been happier. I mean, I know five people right off the bat have those, and they've never been happier than with the old relationships.
Yeah. I don't know how it would work with me if I were to meet Vicky Gold.
But what do you think causes that?
Some kind of connection long ago
mm-hmm.
that was minimized or devalued because we were just kids and we didn't know.
Oh, so you didn't see the rats coming out of the corners.
Or you didn't see the good, well, even the good stuff later on.
I'm wondering if it's because those are the people who really knew you knew you best at your kind of purest and simplest.
Well, I don't think Vicki Gold knew me really well.
Right, I'm
and I don't,
sure.
I don't think I knew her really well.
Yeah, because that was grammar school.
I just knew she was really cute and she was athletic, mm-hmm. and that's all I needed. And that's still what I like in a woman.
Okay, say that out loud. Yep.
Say that out loud?
Say that out loud, what you really like in a woman.
Well, among other things, they have to have a nice look to them and be cute to make mm-hmm. use of them. And to be somewhat athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who wants to go hiking or mm-hmm. moving their body or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't have that. I was very touched when you were going out with somebody and you mentioned that she was your age.
Uh-huh.
And I was so touched, and so were a couple of friends because I mentioned it, that you're not going after the trophy girls. You're not going after the little girls. You like a mature woman who's...
Yeah, I want
a grown-up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So happens I very recently met a woman who's 59 and I'm 68.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. That's not...
No, that's not a kid.
Yeah. So getting back to the love letters,
mm-hmm.
A love letter to my father.
Oh, let's talk about who you... Yes.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned last night to me that you had one in mind and that I might be surprised. Is that who might surprise me?
Right now, I'm drawing a total blank.
Oh, and what you said last night?
Yeah.
You said, I have in mind a love letter to somebody, and do you want me to tell you now? And I said, no, tell me when we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And you said, you're going to be surprised.
And right now, I'm drawing a
total
blank.
Oh, how funny. Okay, then you should have told me. All right, so go ahead. You are considering writing one to our father.
Yes.
With an eye towards what? Goal is always important in a love letter.
Well, you see, I have both the love towards him and I had the anger towards him
mm-hmm.
because he, in some ways, well, he's kind of like Lloyd and kind of like Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And he at times, well, many times was distant and mm-hmm. I didn't get much from him. But there were other times when I did.
Mm-hmm. But what were the times you did?
Well, once in a while, based on something we saw or did, we would be laughing hysterically.
Oh, nice.
To the point where it was hard to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always lovely, mm-hmm. yeah. And then...
he was very much that way.
Yeah. And we shared baseball quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in New York, and so we both were New York Giant fans, even though I was living at that point. I was born in L.A.
Right.
And...
Do you remember going to the Hollywood Stars games when we were kids?
Oh, yeah. So another
thing... Wasn't that wonderful?
Oh. Well, our father was a surgeon,
mm-hmm.
and on occasion he would be the doctor for the day because the normal doctor, who was an orthopedist, Danny Leventhal is his name, Dr. Mm-hmm. Danny Leventhal, wouldn't be there, and so my father subbed a few times, and that was great for me because we got to go into the locker room, which was really kind of gross and dingy,
mm-hmm.
with these guys spitting tobacco into this big can, but anyway. It was great for me because these were my heroes.
By the way, I do remember. You talk about spitting licorice when you were playing.
Oh, yeah. So when I was a kid back in the 50s, a lot of baseball players were chewing tobacco, and then they'd spit the black stuff out. So...
I remember.
And one of these guys that was great at it was Nellie Fox. He was a second baseman with the Chicago White Sox. So what I did, I would, in my little league games, I would jam a bunch of licorice in my mouth, have a big wad of licorice, and I'd be spitting out this black licorice juice.
I remember that.
Yeah. And my father got a kick out of that. Oh, the other thing another thing with him in little league, I'm not sure why he did it, but... I didn't dislike it, but in some ways I would have liked to see it in the stands. So frequently, he would watch me play, but he'd be kind of behind a tree or something, thinking his fantasy was that if I saw him, I would be more nervous.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case or not.
Uh-huh. That was sweet of him to think of that, though.
Yeah. So he gave some thought to it. Another instance I had with my father, which was sweet, for this one I was in, I think, high school, low high school or high junior high,
mm-hmm.
And I bought a pair of shoes. In those days, we got allowances from our parents, mm-hmm. and then we could do with it what we want. And,
right.
Yeah. So and I
the learning to save up for what you want and financial responsibility.
So I bought this pair of loafers that I liked, and then I scuffed up the bottoms so they wouldn't slide mm-hmm. and they wouldn't skid.
Sure.
And then I realized I didn't want the shoes anymore, but they were scuffed.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember talking to my father, I think I was crying a little bit, but it wasn't deep crying, that I scuffed up these shoes so I couldn't return them, you know, and I was losing my $20, whatever it was. And he was just very sweet about it. Well, that happens. And he didn't say, well, I'm sorry, I'll give you the money back or anything like that. But he was giving me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very sweet.
That's nice. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's nice that you have so many of those good memories.
Oh, yes. Lots of them. And,
And have you ever, well, let's talk about writing a love letter with good memories to somebody who's, go ahead.
Well, so another thing, right around the time I was 13, my father, our father, in a very, not stern way, but like a important way, told me I probably should be eating less cholesterol.
Oh, really?
This was back in the, the mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he scared me. He didn't try to scare me. But then I was worried, gee, if I keep eating.
Did that come up in a conversation of some sort that led to it, or it was just bulletin?
Well, what I did as a kid, at least by early junior high school, I was making my own breakfast and stuff. And one of the things I would do is I would cook the bacon, and then I'd take the bacon out, but leave all the grease in the pan, and then I would dump in the eggs.
Oh, so you're getting extra.
So I was eating a lot of cholesterol.
Right.
Yeah. And so at some point, my dad, in a sweet way, said, it was sort of sweet, but he was being kind of a doctor about it.
It's nice.
And saying, you know, it's really important that you not eat a lot of
too much
cholesterol.
So that was, so what year was that? Let's just do that quickly.
Well, if it was, if I was 11.
Oh, okay. So
or
that
12,
was 43.
It was,
so that
was 55.
Right. 1955, you were not hearing a lot about cholesterol.
Yeah.
At all.
Yes.
You know, he was ahead of his times in a lot of things. He also wouldn't let us get the polio vaccine when it first came out.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Mm-hmm. And he said, don't ever, ever get anything when it first comes out.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, the only test for whether something is good is when it's been out for a while.
Yes.
On a large population.
Uh-huh.
And never mind these little studies, which I don't know that they were doing those even then.
Yeah.
And he used to be very distressed at just the lack of it. Anyway, Cutter Lab made a bad batch right after that, and a lot of people got polio.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes. And so, you know, we waited till the second or third round, and that was okay. But he was very strong on that. Don't go running for something new just because they say it's great.
Yeah. So in his own way, he was very caring and meant to take care of us both, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I know he gave me some wonderful advice too. I mean, medical things that he knew about. Yeah. He used to be, I remember in the early 50s, he came home just furious at the speed with which doctors would prescribe antibiotics for everything.
Yeah.
And he used to say, this is again in the early 50s, there are going to be strains of bacteria that are resistant to this, and we're going to be in real trouble someday.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
Yeah. I don't remember him telling me that.
Oh, well, I remember him telling me that.
Yes.
Anyway, so in terms of writing a letter to him, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So you called him Dad, so it would be like Dear Dad, right?
Dad.
Yes. Yeah. And how would you start this? I like to do this sometimes so people can get an idea of how to dive right into a letter. Like, what would be your first line?
My first line would be, hi, Dad.
Yes, after that. Not so easy, really.
Well, I love you, but I also at times hated you. And we would laugh together frequently. Well, not frequently, but at times. And we would go to baseball games, and he'd play catch with me.
So in other words, you want to list all the really wonderful things that you remember that were good. And
well, no,
you want him to know. The reason I'm asking was, I love you, but at times I hated you. It takes the love part of the love letter down a bit. So is there some other way of saying that? Because sometimes when people see that right away in a letter, the I hated you part, they don't read the rest of it with such an open heart. They read it nervously.
Okay, well, I'm not aware of being nervous about it.
I say the person who gets it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a stopper. You want people to go right ahead with an open heart to be able to take it in. Now, he's no longer living, so that issue about he won't read it easily is kind of irrelevant. But it's a good thing to remember in general when you're writing a letter to somebody. You want the goal is for them to read it. I'm wondering if there's just another way of saying it, like, you know, I love you, even though I know there were times that were challenging or difficult.
Okay, so I'll just try it.
But what I'm going to say is I think it's a really good idea, if you feel like it, to make lists of everything good you remember, all the good memories and how it made you feel, and stories that you remember, and really to be specific, like dive right in, just like you told him now.
Yeah.
And dive right in and really be complete.
Yes.
Because it's the specifics of love letters. The gift is that you paid such good attention. I didn't even know you paid such good attention to him. It's making me smile to know that.
I didn't say that again.
Well, the gift in a love letter, I think part of a real gift, is that you paid attention.
I paid attention to him in both ways.
Oh, and I understand that.
Yeah, I mean.
But just because a love letter is something that focuses on the positive, how nice for somebody to know that you really took in all those positive things.
Oh, yes.
People don't often know they've been heard.
Yes.
As you know, as a therapist, right?
Yeah. So one of the rituals I had with my dad when it was time for bed, I would shake hands with him.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.
And when our hands met,
mm-hmm.
his hands are kind of like mine.
Mm-hmm.
But and so when I would, when our
hands would clasp.
Yeah, when our hands would clasp. Normally, his hand was warm,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a nice experience.
Oh, nice.
But we didn't kiss goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in my life, I decided I'm going to kiss you. I told him, I want to kiss you goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
And when I remember when I told him this, he was taken aback for a moment,
mm-hmm.
but then went with the flow. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, I kissed him hello and goodbye,
nice.
As well as goodnight.
Nice.
So that was a nice
memory. This is so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this, of course, brings back a lot of memories for me, too, but things that I didn't know about you.
Yeah.
So that's lovely. Now, who will you mail this to? And will it be, obviously, in your own handwriting? And maybe it'll be a series of letters because you have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Maybe you want one really huge, long one.
Well.
And maybe you want a couple of shorter ones. Like, who will you mail it to?
You mean, who am I going to mail this love letter for my father?
Yes. To whom will you mail this?
I don't know.
Right. Okay. So that's, I always have a good time with that. He's gone, but wouldn't it be nice? I mean, there's so many possibilities. You could say, dear.
I'd probably send it to you.
Oh, that would be lovely. Dear Dad, I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to send it to Janet. So she'll know more about how my life with you.
Yes.
Or I'm going to send it to my children so that they'll know more about me and you.
Yes.
And that's really a lovely thing to do, even to send them a copy.
Yes.
So it goes down the generations. These love letters last.
Yes.
You know, our floppy disks are useless, and technology changes, but the letters on good paper and indelible ink will sit there for 300 years.
Yes.
And your descendants, I mean, you've got these beautiful children and grandchildren, and you're going to have great-grandchildren, I'm guessing, and they'll see a letter that's in some treasure box or found from, you know, Grandpa or Great-Grandpa Johnny.
Yes.
And they'll know something about the kind of love they came from.
Yeah.
So, I think that's
so another memory with our dad.
Mm-hmm.
Before I graduated from high school, I went on with a trip with my dad.
Oh, yes.
And do you know where we went?
Oregon.
Oh, good for you.
And you, because I have a picture of you in the hollow of that redwood tree.
Oh,
went through the redwood. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyway,
this isn't about me.
So we were going to the University of Oregon because I was going to be a runner there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were driving up there, I just recently got my driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and he let me drive part of the time.
Nice.
And that was very nice. And then I don't think that would have been his vacation place he would have wanted to go, but he took me there, and he was very enthusiastic about it,
mm-hmm.
and we had a nice time, and he was just very sweet.
So you have a lot of things. You know, we're almost out of time, and I wish we weren't, But you can do another one with me sometime
okay.
on some other aspect or continue this.
Uh-huh.
So you have a lot to say. And part of what you have to say, which I find when I write love letters, is you've got a lot to say to yourself
yes.
about this.
Yes.
And so we live in a time now, thank goodness, where you can make a copy and keep one
uh-huh.
for yourself.
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, when you're 90, you might want to refresh and be sure to date it.
Uh-huh.
And when was it that you realized all this or felt all this? You keep a copy for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I hope, I mean, I can tell that you're going to do it.
Yes.
And I hope you find Vicki Gold and you can write one to her and Mr. Gould. And love letters is not a one-shot deal.
Right.
It's a way of life.
Yes.
And thank you, honey, for coming here to do this.
My pleasure.
And please remember, if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion. So that's it for now, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.